How do you mean?
Sorry.
Sorry. And my concern for myself as we move up the foundation is about quality and salvation is not so much familiarity. And be familiar with the word of God is good. But James Day in his book Jesus and the Gospel said the big problem for well-taught reformed evangelicals is that we are excessively familiar. Excessively familiar, which is deadly. Explain, well, we know all that actually, tell me something else. Peter's letter is written to the church at large to try and ensure that that type of excessive familiarity does not occur. Peter's letter is written to the church at large, we get that from chapter 1, verse 1. A church that is dispersed, a church that is in exile, and in and around the period of the area of the major man. So it is right to make sure that that experience of hardship, that experience of fire, that experience of tribulation. But he also means for them, to narrow the way to the outset, and we say now, right to the end of this, but he said there are right to be people in the world, and also with problems, but he says they're going to our elect. Excellent. He wants them, and of course, us today, if we claim to be Christians, and if we're Christian, and here is the trials and tribulation, there is something very special about it. Something very special about this. And this then, we are elect. And this thing that we are presented with is very profound. Highlights something for us. But this election has come to unworthy sinners, and it has come by a tremendous work of grace in you. He was trying to govern, he refers to according to the form of the body, sanctification of the spirit, or the Jesus Christ. One more thing, sin must be. When you think that God creates everything that there is by His word, and it was perfect to do, that He can, do anything in a word, it's not any other thing for God to do anything, except in the case of sin and sin. It's a Trinitarian mass to deal with the problem of sin, to move us from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. Now, what I think from the beginning, our salvation, my salvation, tonight in this interior salvation. The left according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the foreknowledge of God, of course, is the foundation. The God knows everything that will happen before it happens. And he has formed that before all the incidents, right down to the individual level, like the verse in Psalm 139, verse 6, behold the day of the womb. I think about that, you know, this thing that does never mind. It is in the end, for you, all the days within for me, for in the Lord, before one of them came. That's renting. So, how are we to understand what Peter means when he says that they are left according to the foreknowledge of the Father? Drawn again to the sort of legal theological assessment. But the mystery of God directing the purpose and the free order of the gospel to all, of course, a lot of debate in the church. How do we have the free order that God knows who it is? Actually, we must say that. And we must draw our hearts and thinking that God knows the people were that were going to be. They are the elected from you who believe that. Case either. Because if you read in Ephesians 2, and you were there in the best part of the sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now over the sins of disobedience, we get to think about how sinful sin is. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the animal on them, and with our nature, children of God. Like the rest of my things, with God being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive and left in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. He raised us up, became seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might be the inevitable beginning of his grace. And hence, the word has been Christ Jesus, for by grace you have been saved, the emphasis of the end, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not only so the words, so that no one may boast. So in book 4, the Romans said, and who he did for no one, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God predestined, not because he foreseen men will believe to become full of Christ, but they might be conquered. So the free offer of the gospel, which our Lord said, we will go the world preaching the gospel, goes hand in hand with our knowledge of this electing purpose of God, and we've got to reach our gospel. And the really the best expression that I've read, I haven't heard it, but the guy was dead and said it, was John Murray, in his paper on the atonement and the offer of the gospel, is that we've got to see that we are living in a world where the universal over which we are the based on the ruling and the daily action. And every man experiences, every woman experiences the universal over which it is. But not everyone believes. We must leave to God that wisdom to believe it. One of the reasons that I think John Murray was right about preaching that the election is of God is that it is a means by which God wears up. If you're all sitting here tonight, if you do not know Christ, then you want to know that God has an electing purpose that he will save some, but not all. And you ask yourself the question, why not me? The challenge, you see, you're the Holy Spirit of a waiting super. That the fear, they might not ever be simple. The universal overture is a grace. Where a man within this grace, he will not. The state of the world for himself. choice that the Trinitarian salvation is in, and it includes the Holy Spirit. If you look at the two forms of God in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, some commentators think that that's in the wrong order because the sanctification of the Spirit always means that the faith is always the Christ. But that's not the case here. The sanctification has to be understood to be in the Christ. There is to be set apart. And there is to be made order. And Peter here is talking about that first one. The sanctification of the Spirit, the Spirit's setting people apart to accommodate the Lord Jesus Christ. And the application of the Lord Christ. So this is Trinitarian. This based on one word of the accommodation. It's based upon the love of God. The God being rich in mercy because of his great love of the Jesus. This week, God is Lord, particularly the reading of John 11, must be seen in the context of the atonement. Not only as the manifestation of God's love, but as Jeffrey Warren said on this day, as virtually definitive problem. How am I fully to understand God's love? Look at the cross. That is how we define the word of God. And it should be noted too that Christ's resurrection was his vindication by his Father. It forever validates the cross, the faith, the fulfillment of the definition of the word of God. The man called Richard C. Lifter, or Richard Osset Lifter, who he said to the person, and you might know much about him, he says in the great terms, which I quote there, he said, the love of God is of such a type that nothing greater can exist, and of such a thing that nothing better. Nothing can be better than the love of God, greater than the love of God, and it's the cross that validates it. We've seen, you know, my chance for myself to become so excessively familiar with these things that we lose the wonder of our salvation. For example, complete salvation, we look at verse 3. He said, let me be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the great mercy. He has caused us to be born again for a living hope. He resurrected him, she lived from the dead. And in verse 5, it says, by God's power of gaining hardly through faith for the salvation that he has given to the last. God is letting his sins to be born in our salvation. It's safe. It's a safe salvation. Because it's kept. It's safe because it's God through faith. Ready for a future revealing. When the bridegroom will be united with his bride, and will be another attempt to preach on the bride, who needs him to do the songs from him. That will be a picture of the bride with the bridegroom. And what's strange, poorly follows aging. But it is beautiful in the way that it opens up in the most beautiful terms the typical relationship that we have in a one-to-one basis. Roosevelt said, blessed is the soul who falls on the face of it straight out to that of the truth. But it's a complete salvation. But it's also rich. Look at verse 4. This time we are going to be the person then to the inheritance that is imperishable and defiled and failing kept in heaven for you. Now, it's cost of an inheritance, we know what the inheritance is because yours is of the person who has left the inheritance to you. And now So here it doesn't tend to be half an hour inheritance because the person from whom he was intended at that our Lord Jesus Christ. And the money we sent all the help from the Father, the wearer of the aspect, on the night of the language. In fact, in the early sense, it's quite possible that we can have a death of the person who died. How does this become a human? It's ours and mine. Well, it's obviously something that we already possess because it was there to be kept for it. Say that anything can do it, we have to have it. It wasn't a simple thought, but it's really quite strong. We have to go around the ability of our own to be able to do it, but this is not this. So how do we get to think of it? Well, we can't fully describe it because it is like a thing that we describe it. We know what it's not, rather than knowing what it is. We know that it is not only fair, all of it is not from my own. It's like what we sell. It's infinite, it's incomprehensible, it's beautiful, it's infinite. And the thing is, the Egyptian government. The answer is all over the Bible. Everything in this world is defiled to a greater or lesser extent. The whole world that we are in belongs to the humanity of sin. We just got to put on our music to hear the year of blood. We hear our wars and famines, etc. And if we just focus on that, it's a depressing in the picture, but it's because the world is defiled, it's growing. And not thinking that they cause corruption or decay. We said we want to know from the beginning. All the science and other things we do. Well, the nearest thing I come to it in my experience is there. It never ceases, and it's been offered to women and children. And that is a rural territory on the weak world on the daily mass. It is a capacity to bring joy. No spot of sin, no sorrow, all comes to all tears, well away, and an eternal joy. Just get in that. See, we can't conceive of that. We cannot sit here and conceive and joy with the enemy. Our wounded, our fallen human brain, over the sin. We need the new body. We need the resurrection body. Then, to joy, the never ends, we'll be able to continue what we need to do. So, what is it? What is it that we have in the kingdom? It's a kingdom and a crown. And if you we have lots of things to do this tonight. We mentioned Revelation 2 and 3, which is the letters to the seven churches. Could just be the end of the letter. So, what was it more welcome than that? And you got a stream of incredible things, which will be the doors of the world of sin when you didn't get there. And it's interesting that the churches are going to pretend to fail in the prophets. These feel they have been quite happy. They knew from both the Lord God was working for them so many, so phenomenally great. They screamed. They wanted to know where they were. The angels were on the angels. What did they mean? And you are accepted for the reality. Yes. Even in the midst of the trial, the reality of what we are in Christ never changes. So it's a Trinitarian salvation, it's a complete salvation, it's a rich salvation, it's a joyful, yet tested salvation. If you look at verse 6a, then in the midst of the joy, And then people will know what is otherwise necessary to defeat the need by various problems. A test of salvation. The Christian can have a deep step of joy, even in the midst of trial. We do not rejoice in the king, and do not rejoice in the strength. We rejoice in what we are in the greatness, not in that itself. In Paul said, our light and momentary affections are achieving for us an eternal way of glory. We wasn't being frivolous. He wasn't indulging in the simple like learning. All you were in the simple game. And he still had a lot of pain. But it was always in one housing way. So what does this joyful yet tested salvation mean? Well, what does it point to? The Lord, in his great wisdom, keeps us close by showing us how brief everything here is. How temporary, how fleeting, the years fly by, yesterday's problems have gone to the great. Okay, yesterday's problems back. But we face a new one, the one. And then, it's the natural end of all spiritual troubles and sorrow is spiritual joy. The relationship. In them are the grace of God. Can you imagine what it would be like? Although you might wish it for, but if you imagine for a moment what it would be like, you just never have it. It never happened. And your life just went on a smooth path. No struggle. I wouldn't think you would be able to see it. Because we all seem to be, we will forget to go from God. But I've been so well, we've been grateful to God bless you. And every believer, the natural end of our spiritual sorrow, the world is given to the spiritual glory. I love the point that there's no point of deliverance, because we're not in the problem of being grateful to God's spirit of the point. The mercy is. We do not have children. But we have to do the movements. We have to do the tendency again. I have to do the movements. Deliver. It's not only the second of laws. But there you read it because you are in the midst of even the worst sin in rejecting God, or in the midst of trouble near death and fighting God, and instead of what we can do. Okay, gracious. We read from Samuel from the letters again. I don't know if you've read from Samuel from the letters, they are a mine of short insight and theological understanding in a very biblical way. It's interesting, the third chart has a version of the trade of the last. Spurgeon was asked, he had a past life, he was asked, are you moving? To keep his Bible in one of his books. There was something in them. If you haven't got a call, you don't have to read it. You want that to be, and you'll soon find something, things coming out of the word, which are so deeply inspiring. And I'm going to quote a little bit of one now. When he was writing to, he was in prison, and when he wrote this, he was in prison and had a meeting because he refused to. The after being born, and that's where he was, exiled. And he went to someone in the midst of trouble. And he said, if you want to look at this point, right? Because the meaning of the stand of fortune, and be sure that you will. Till your Lord ascended into the rest of him. But Christ held them sufficient that he could see them. Man they would be nobler, the greater comfort and joy comes from the faith of deliverance and the faith of deliverance. and for the deliverance of Sodom. That point is very important. The value of God is to bring deliverance. And I'm crying for an end because I didn't have to live. And we want to be able to live. We have an answer. We don't live. We don't live. We don't live. We want to live. And it's a great comfort to know by faith that God can be the best for us. And that His glory is real and genuine. So that, you know, this tested salvation, he says to where I let the no one have the only thing against the words. May the troubles go from the world. May you look at the many years we've come to all manner of trials. Even mistakes are committed in God's providence. We made many mistakes. Somewhere in the mysterious mysteries of the divine decrees, God uses even our sins to bring glory to Himself through His redemptive birth. Not something that we should use in the language of the state. But you've come to all this mysterious. Still because the joy of the tested salvation in full gentleman and of coming out of the Lord. So the Trinitarian salvation, the complete salvation, the rich salvation, the joyfully tested salvation, and finally into question. Verses 6 to 9, which are very hard, and I think they're all, because I read in verse 6, but where he said in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him, for you have not now seen him, you believe in him, and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible, and fill you with glory, saving them from the world, the salvation of the Lord. So, the tested genuineness of your faith, faith and passion. Will be so soon. And this is no small thing. This is no passing thing. True, we are not there yet, but it's coming and it's certain. See, I think Peter is taking us up a mountain. He's trying to get into the sky on top of the mountain, God's salvation, and see the whole panorama. And the wonders. And so, knowing this, though we have not seen him physically, we believe in him and for that spiritual memory part we are dealing with him. Joy. Inexpressible joy. We can explain earthly joy in the same way we've explained earthly sorrow. But here, we're said to be rejoicing with the joy of the inexpressible. We can't explain it because all will be seen both in our difficulties and our trials, and we will be avoided because this Christianity is all about all the doing and doing of suffering. But when you think about Christian disabilities and they remain faithful, something deep and lasting is worth being and worth being capable of its solid. It's a serious job. And it dwells in the heart of the soul more than any factor that we have. And it's a joy. You don't believe there are other lands and happiness. Christians with John Milton said in Paradise Lost are not those who've stored the lights of living the glorious day. So that's what we do. How would you describe a purity? You never heard on the tag, purity that always. So it's not in the world. You know, if you're a man or happy woman, because they know when you understand this wonderful salvation, you'll never have more joy than they when the Lord Jesus Christ is in your life and the result of righteousness, peace, and joy in the world. One, you are what you know that we do. This salvation. Good, be good, to be familiar, but deadened, to be more. having tasted the Lord is good. We could go on. Verses 10 to 12, it was the fourth rule of salvation. And in verse 13, it was not indicated by them. We failed to know the Lord. Our salvation, there's nothing being so costly, nothing so important, nothing so important, nothing so complicated. Or in the title of the book, nothing so horrible. God bringing salvation to people. I want to sing it again. Father, we forgive us all the sin we dwell by the faith of God. And every one, then shall be born in the day of the year, in the day of the Lord, and we will be born.